Okay, the next item on the agenda, public hearing, amendments to regulations 4 VAC 267010 and 4 VAC 243010 concerning the use of anchored gill nets licensed for recreational purposes and set in areas above the saltwater freshwater recreational license boundary lines on the James, York, and Rappahannock River. Mr. O'Reilly. Thank you, sir.
There are two different regulations coming around with a very slight modification to them, which I'll explain shortly. This issue actually dates back to last fall when it was first brought to your attention, actually by Mr. Garrison, who was then an associate member, who had had conversations with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries about a very prominent and growing catfish fishery in the upper portions of the tidal rivers and some problems that were associated with the use of those nets. It was delayed until today because we thought there may be some legislation that might show up during the 07 session that looks at jurisdictional issues between VMRC and the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. That legislation never appeared, so we're home free in that respect. Virginia has a very large and apparently popular catfish fishery in the upper portions of the river, drawing participants from not only our immediately adjoining states to the north and south, but from Ohio and Kentucky and West Virginia and Tennessee. And they're primarily after the blue catfish, which was an introduced species some decades ago, which reach a very large size. The problem is the fishermen who pursue the catfish have switched from using cast nets to catch their bait, which tends to be gizzard shad, to recreational anchored gill nets. And this is cause of concern to both us and the Game and Inland Fisheries, Fisheries Division. There have been some cases where, because people are shifting from cast nets to a new gear, they're not familiar with it, like they should be. There have been cases where nets have been discarded or abandoned and continue to fish. There are concerns about bycatch of other important species like the American shad, which is in serious trouble, and the striped bass, which is another heavily regulated species. In the process of looking at jurisdictional issues between us and the Game Department actually for the first time in a long while, realized that freshwater fish, like the gizzard shad, that are found in tidal waters actually fall under their jurisdiction, and there is a law on the books that prevented their harvest by gillnet. So the gillnet activity that was actually being pursued by these catfish fishermen was actually illegal. But the Game Department, wishing to continue this catfish fishery because it is so popular, it's a good thing for the economy of Virginia, and it's not harming the resource, at least the catfish resource, has recently amended their laws to allow the legal harvest of species like gizzard shad by recreational gillnet. So that issue has been taken care of. The issue that remains is what effect is this proliferation of recreational gill nets in the upper river areas having on other resources? And in fact, the number of licenses that have been sold for recreational gill nets has, in 1 year's time, has increased from 565 to 722. So there, now, I can't tell you that entire increase is due to the catfish fishery, but obviously a significant portion of it is. To further address the problem, actually Tom Powers, I think, who most of you know, apparently was acquainted with a number of these catfish fishermen and was helpful to staff in gathering a number of these fishermen together last fall that we met with and identified the problem to them. In one evening, we were able to come to an agreement with them as to how to solve the problem, and they all agreed to reduce the legal length of these anchored recreational gill nets from 300 feet to 110 feet. The reason you have a blue page regulation is the previous version said 100 feet, and it's been changed now to the 110, which was agreed to by the group. To limit the soak time in any one setting to 1 hour, which reduces the take of the other species like shad or striped bass, to require the attendance of the net within 100 yards, to require confiscation of any unattended net by the Marine Police, and that those provisions should apply in those portions of the tidal rivers above the lines that are set where you have to have a freshwater fishing license. And they're defined in the regulation that you have before you. We have received 5 or 6 comments on the proposals. All but one was in support. The catfish fishing groups that we met with were all unanimously in support. And the Finfish Management Advisory Committee supports the changes as well. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Jack? Mr. Fox.
Jack, we've got, how about the bycatch that these gill nets are catching? Is that a serious problem to the shad and striped bass?
We don't have in terms of presenting numbers to you as to the quantity of that bycatch, we don't have that. What we do have are the reports and the concerns of the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, whose people are more, you know, located in those upper river reaches than my staff, obviously. And they are concerned about that bycatch.
Well, the cast nets don't have that problem. Is that correct?
Generally correct.
Why do we want to have any gill nets at all? Can't the catfish fishermen use the cast nets?
They can, but they're the concern they expressed to us was actually one of safety, that this is a wintertime fishery, and when you're throwing that cast net and then dropping it on the water, on the vessel, it's freezing, the water starts to freeze. They're in very small boats, small John boats and bass boats and things of that nature. The other provision that we're changing in the regulation, which I failed to mention, are changes in the marking requirements to the regulations for the same safety reasons. Right now, they have to abide by the same marking requirements as commercial fishermen, which involves placing a staff on the end of each net with flags or these large balls. By the time you get all that in your boat, it's actually taking up most of the room of the vessel. And so we want to do away with that and just require them to mark the nets similarly to the way commercial fishermen mark drift gill nets in the upriver, which with small blaze orange floats at each end.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jack, are you satisfied that the combination of the one-hour soak time limit and the length limit together will help control
I think so. And the requirement that you have to attend the net.
Right.
You know, in 1 hour, you're going to have that net out of the water. You're going to be right there. You should be able to release the other species.
You'd have some live release, presumably.
You would think so. Certainly striped bass that time of year should be able to be released alive.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Jack. Some public hearing. Anyone here in support or opposition? Mr. Powers. Thank you very much for your help on the matter.
My name's Tom Powers. I'm here just representing myself. I got involved with this through the Titlefish internet bulletin board. The freshwater guys were, there was an ongoing debate about using gill nets in these rivers, previous to Mr. Garrison's discussion. And the issue there was people who didn't know how to use them, and they were setting them and just leaving them, and they were getting away from them and things. But that was a minor thing compared to the concern that DGIF had about bycatch. When Jack and I met with these guys, we met with a half a dozen people who have been using gill nets for years legally. And currently they can use a 100-yard gill net and soak it for as long as they want, so long as they stay with a net in these areas. Their report was very minimal bycatch when set for gizzard shad. They set in the shallow areas. Typically what they'll do is just have the net still attached one end to their boat, and they'll just feel the net, and they'll feel the fish tapping on the net, and after 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, they'll pull the net in. Any bycatch they catch is returned to the water alive, and that's the point behind the one-hour soak time. There is a concern with bycatch in this area, and it's been reported to me from commercial fishermen, and it has to do with the white perch fishery and has a bycatch of 1-to-1, and I've heard as high as 5-to-1 and 10-to-1 of striped bass to white perch. But that's a separate issue that is not covered by this regulation. The blue catfish fishermen like the use of the gill net because it allows them, like Jack said, it's a danger issue when they're in there in the dead of winter. They really did support this, and this also was a matter when DGIF did their changes to their regulations to allow the harvest of gizzard shad and white perch by recreational fishermen through the use of gill nets. It was done with the understanding that this agency would be looking into these specific measures. And I did that I will present it to FMAC as a request to come here.
Mr. Fox, a question, would the fishermen using these gill nets, would they be agreeable to not fishing the nets at all during the spawning runs for the shad and the
spawning
bass?
Fish is not the problem. The problem, the fish you catch are this big. Mm-hmm. They're using a 3.5-inch mesh net. They aren't going to catch the big stripers, as a general rule. They might lip hook them, or lip gill them, but that's it.
But they'll catch the shad.
The ones that I have talked to have not reported catching any shad. Now, one of the options that we talked about previously was the concept of closing sections of the river.
Let me just add that you cannot set an anchored gill net in the shad and striped bass spawning areas during April and May.
So that
applies to every anchored gill net.
Okay.
And it would apply to these as well.
So that's when the shad are going up the road. Right.
That's when they're spawning up there, yes.
Thanks, Tom. We're talking about a 33-yard net, right, Jack?
110 feet. 100 meters. 130.
Thank you, Professor.
100 meters.
Yeah. Well, I got them out there, guys. Anybody else? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we adopt staff recommendation.
Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Tanker. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, public hearing. Planned construction of a new artificial recreational fishing reef, Bluefish Rock, to be centered 3.2 nautical miles east-southeast of the Grandview section of Hampton. Mr. Meyer.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
At your February 27th meeting, the Artificial Reef Program requested time on this month's agenda to consider approval of development of the reference reef site. The proposed site to be located